listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
And good morning. Good morning. excuse me. Welcome to A Biblical Response. This is 11 a.m. on the 13th of May of the year 2025. I never thought I'd live this long. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me here. Oh, and I have a room full of really wonderful, God-loving people that I have the privilege of working with. Keith Masters, welcome.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. Thank you. Ann Limhoko, it's also good to see you again.
Good morning, everybody. Yes. Can I just say something really quickly? I was listening to a song this morning from Sons of Sunday called One More Day, and it talks about just being grateful for having one more day to live and God giving you one more day to live. Yeah. And I just was so like, I need to sing this every morning and be grateful for every day the Lord gives us to live.
Amen. Amen. I agree with you totally. He calls me to do that. You know, we're all humans, right? We fall into a morass of self-pity, maybe, or, you know, we let the darkness encroach. We're not supposed to do that. But rather than me go off into a theological and philosophical exploration, Stephanie Jacobson, it's so good to see you.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We're all here together on this beautiful day. It was muggy and whatnot yesterday, but today is sunshine.
Today is sunshine. Well, keep in mind, the sun is shining above the clouds. First time I flew in an airplane, we get about 30,000 feet. I was amazed, you know, to see, look down and see the white tops of the clouds. And it was
like that,
raining
yeah.
beneath, you know. I was a young person.
Have you ever seen a pilot? I think it's called a pilot's rainbow or something like that, where it's a perfect circle rainbow on the clouds when you're up above those clouds and sun shining.
Wow.
It is. Look it up. It's pretty cool.
I
saw a couple of those and I was just amazed.
That's
so
awesome stuff.
It's my favorite place up in the sky.
Yes. Well, one day we'll be going up that way.
I know.
All of us.
That's true.
Every seat will be first class.
Well,
I believe
there you go.
That. Listen, well, Stephanie, since you've been so articulate thus far, you're going to be taking us into the beginning of our topical discussion. So,
yeah,
go for it.
Well, thank you. I would just want to welcome everybody here today on the radio. It is so good to be able to sit in this room with everybody. You know, I just want to kind of take everybody to our days on Mondays. Mondays are a fun day for us. We come together on a Zoom call on Mondays about 1:30 and prepare for this day. And so there's preparation that brings us to this place where we can talk, hopefully, with some wisdom about what's out there. And yesterday was no different. But
with wisdom and love.
with wisdom and love. All right. Yesterday was no different, except as I was sitting there, I was listening to everybody, and I got called out and said, "Hey, what's on your mind?" And it was the deception that we face and the truth of God's word that was just like highlighted in my brain. It's like, how do you know what's what? And you know, we're discussing things like we're going to be discussing in a little bit, Trump and some of the things that he's doing right now with executive orders, and those are so important for our country and deciding, you know, what's good, what's bad, and how do we do that? And I love Keith's way of always saying we go back to the Word of God, and he's right. I mean, that is exactly what we do. And I just want to be really, really open and clear this morning. I don't know everything. Does that surprise anybody? I don't know everything. And so I have to listen to people that I believe have the truth and that are wise and that are safe for me to hear. I hope our listeners today find that we are a safe place to listen. Mm-hmm. And I think that this radio station has been, you know, very good about that. We also like to get other people's, like someone that doesn't agree with us. We would love for you to call in, and we like to have those calls. And but God has called us to action. He has called us to know the truth of the Word of God, because if we don't know the truth, then how can we decide and decipher and Holy Spirit speak to us through the Word if we don't know the Word, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to educate ourselves every day, educate ourselves on something, learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. And hopefully as you come on the radio station, you'll hear something new and go, is that right? Is that wrong? Mm-hmm. You get to decide through Holy Spirit, through the Word, but then also listening to others. I just want to go back to Saturday evening. I was privileged enough to go up and volunteer, and I'll give a shout out to Florida Family Voice. They did an amazing job. And these are the kinds of things that I would say. If you don't know something, find people that you trust. I trust Florida Family Voice. They have been, they're in the midst of the fight up at the Capitol. They are a praying people. They will educate people. And then they ask you to take action. So find places like that that you can plug into. Saturday night was one of those nights for us, for me personally. I didn't even know I was going to be there till last Monday. And I got a call or a text that said, hey, would you like to come volunteer? And so I did. And I sat there almost in tears as I heard Eric Dillenbach, who just took over CEO of that ministry, and Charlie Kirk sitting on the stage. They brought the fire. I'm telling you what, I was so encouraged. And what that does, it's fun to see these people that, you know, you see on the internet and whatnot in person and all, but it's not even that. It is the fact that you're hearing leaders that are willing to go out there and take the punches and the rolls and the, and to stand on the front lines. You're hearing leaders speak truth that gives you courage to go back and do the same thing, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your church, whether it's in your, you know, the political civic arena that you're in, whatever it is, the civic mission field, wherever you are, right here on the radio where we're doing. And so that's just a call today to find the places that are very safe and that you know are speaking the Word of God, and then be able to speak to others that may not know and may not understand. Use what you have to make good choices. And I want to bring up a biblical lesson on this. I don't know how many of you know that in Judges, there was a prophetess and a judge named Deborah. Deborah is one of my favorite stories.
Me too.
And yeah, she just was an amazing woman of God. And there was a captain of an army named Barak. And
who didn't step up.
He was going to go into the battle, and she said, "You're going to win this battle." God has said. And he said, "But I won't go without you." And he abdicated his role as a leader.
He did.
And she stepped into that moment and said, "Sure, I'll go." But here's what happened. We think that they won the battle, when in reality, the battle was won in a tent off on the side of, you know, it seemed like an ally. And that was Sisera. He was the captain of the other army. And he fled. I want to read you a poem that was written, and it will kind of give you a picture of this army. It says, "He commanded 900 chariots of iron, yet 'twas on foot Captain Sisera fled. He took shelter in tents of an ally, but by nightfall the captain was dead. For Deborah and Barak and the stars in their courses fought just as Jehovah had said, and Jael with a workman's hammer, we're told, hit the proverbial nail on the head. Mm-hmm. So she, who was just someone that was in a tent, the captain had fled into the tent. She used what she had to do what God wanted done. And that's what I would speak to the people that are listening to us today. Use what you have. It may be your voice. It may be you write an email or a text to someone and say, what are you doing in this situation? How do you feel about this? But start the conversations. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to have those conversations.
Let your faith carry you.
Let your faith carry you.
Let your faith carry you and then trust in the Lord that he's going to handle it.
That's right.
Yes.
JL had no clue she was going to kill
I
know. The captain.
Right.
You know, but Deborah and Barak went ahead and did what God asked them to do.
Right. Mm-hmm. It takes the first step.
Everybody
it takes
is
the first
important
step. And
in
once
this.
You take right, once you take that first step, then the second step comes. You know? The second step comes.
Amen.
But yeah.
Amen, amen.
So. This is all about walking in the Spirit.
It is.
For some people, it's a practicum. For other people, it's just a theory. But it's what God intends for all who follow him in Jesus. It is part of how we work in the world.
And we have to know the truth of the Word of God to be able to do that.
Yes.
It doesn't just come in, you know, in our heads. And you have to follow what God's Word says. And know that it's grounded in the truth. It's not just something floating out in the air.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, you know, I just love this show because this just speaks to everything the Lord's been downloading to me. I don't know, my past 25 years. And
you're not that old.
As Christians, thank you for that. I like that.
You're not that old.
As Christians, we can't stand on the sidelines, just live within the confines of our home and not get engaged in culture.
Yes.
We have to have a biblical, not Christian worldview, because somebody will twist Christian worldview. It has to be a biblical worldview.
Yes.
The Bible says that we are to be, and Keith, tell me where this is in Matthew, salt and light. So we are the salt and we are the light.
Amen.
How are we the salt and the light if we are just in our home, not engaging? You talked about Charlie Kirk. Okay, so Charlie Kirk, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know who Charlie Kirk.
There you go.
He started an organization called Turning Point, and I just admire him because it was just a little thing in his home in Chicago, and it's become the most influential, I would say the most influential arm to those who are 30 and under hearing truth. Okay?
So let me say something to that. I'm not 30 and under.
I'm not either.
But I will tell you something. At 62 years old, I have learned so much from him. So just because he's speaking to the youth, we have to learn. And one other thing, just because you're in your home does not mean
you can't do anything.
That you can't do anything.
You're right.
I want to clarify. No. I just want to clarify that because I didn't think I was a stay-at-home mom for years and years and years. And it's like, I'm not doing anything, you know, but I was. You're leading that next generation. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I didn't
about
mean
Turning
to not
Point
stay
USA.
At home moms.
That's right.
And
I
maybe
wanna...
there are some people who are not able to physically leave their home.
Right.
But that means that the Lord will call you possibly to do things within your home.
Yes.
You could pick up the phone and call your member of Congress.
Yes.
You could write.
Absolutely.
You could, you know, I don't know. There's
well,
things...
just an FYI, my mailman became a Christian. Right?
Because
out of my house, right? I shared the Lord with my mailman.
Keith.
He became a Christian. The house lady who came once a week to clean the house or once every 2 weeks, she became a Christian. Her daughter became a Christian from that. Right?
That's beautiful, Keith.
So, the guy that came to fix my garage became and accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
I'm sending everybody
there. You know?
Right.
No. But
let's give out your home address.
No. The guy,
but it's true.
And I shared that story.
No, I know.
We were going to church. The garage, you know, broke. The guy came in, right, to change the garage, to fix the garage, the automatic garage door. He wound up receiving Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, right? And his daughter was talking about Jesus, so there was seeds already planted. And as Paul said, you don't, you know, we one plants another waters. You just continue to make to share the Lord, because you don't know where that's going to go, and that's the ripple effect that the Lord speaks about.
And sometimes seeds, we were talking about this before we went on the air, sometimes seeds are planted into our own hearts and minds, and if we don't know the word good enough or well enough that we can go to and find what the truth is, then, you know, we need to have those skills. We need to have those skills to be able to even Google, man. Google is my friend a lot of times.
It is.
I mean.
No, it is.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you referenced Matthew earlier, the salt and the light. I just want to read that scripture. It's Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And keep in mind, listener, what has been said, what Stephanie has said, what Ann has said. This applies, this is God speaking to you, you, right now. You are the salt of the earth. If you're a believer, that's who you are. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
Amen.
You know that scripture. That last of that verse, I used to think it was do his good works. And it doesn't say that. It says your good works.
Yes.
And we know that everything we do is really filthy rags unless it is done within
in the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus. And so our good works are only good with him as the front of those good works. I want to say something too about I have this cousin that I talked to on the way here. She is really, she actually wrote that other poem, but she also writes haikus, and one of them she sent me this morning says, "Sometimes truth is hard, but we speak the truth in love. Sometimes truth is heard." So you don't know who's going to hear the truth. You just have to speak it. So.
And it's up to the Holy Spirit to convict.
There you
so
go.
We're not going to say something and beat him over the head So just the word of God is already like a piercing, like piercing to the soul,
right,
into the spirit.
Right.
So we speak the truth like Keith does to everybody who enters his home. And then the word will do the work. The spirit will do the work.
Amen. But, you know, and we were talking about, and I just wanted to bring up, and we speak it. It doesn't mean that it's always going to be received. Doesn't mean that it's always going to be received. So we were talking yesterday, right, when I was out on the street last week. And I was sharing the gospel out on the street. And one of the, a guy came by on the street corner. He said a few words in the beginning, and then he left. It was a quick conversation, and just that I was sharing the Lord, and all he talked about was Palestine. Well, lo and behold, about 15 or 20 minutes later, he came back, and he just went into Palestine.
He went to talk to you. He came back to talk to you.
No, he was going. I don't know where he went.
Okay.
Yeah,
he walked
to some place, I guess, and then came back. But he wanted to talk about Palestine. And we talk about the name of the show is A Biblical Response. And what is the biblical response? The biblical response is that the Lord loves Israel. The Lord loves Israel. It's God's chosen land. It's God's chosen people. And he couldn't come to understand or wanted to hear that God was a lover of Israel. And all he kept saying was that Palestine, that Israel is bombing Palestine and the Palestine children are being harmed because of Israel. But he didn't want to take a second. So it was just a conversation, and we go to the Bible where Stephanie was talking about, and this is everything in love. So
yes,
just moving forward, doesn't mean that it's always going to be received, but that doesn't mean that you don't do it. You don't still go out there and share.
Well, you
the,
might have planted
and share the
seed.
Truth.
That's the point. You know, yeah. The other day I was at the Capitol in Missouri fighting some legislation up there.
You were just at the Capitol, you know?
I was.
The other day I was at the Capitol.
Well,
you. Just
3 days
Capitol,
away.
You know? Yeah. You know what I mean? We're just at the Capitol hanging out.
Let's tell you what, I want you to get into that.
Yeah,
I just love how Stephanie speaks.
Let's just go ahead and take a short break, and then we'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back.
Okay.
Pick up with that
capital. I can figure out how to do this. Here we go.
This is flowing really well.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, WCNO family. This is Jonathan McLean. I'm the general manager of WCNO. We had an awesome prayer and share. Thank you so much for being a part of that. A few of you have not yet responded. We are so close to meeting our goal. Give us a shout and let's get this thing finished off. God bless all of you. Call us 772-221-1100.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. And we're back, a biblical response. And we have, I'm just going to throw this back out to, I think, Stephanie to pick up on that thread that was being unraveled at the lab before the break.
Yeah, no problem. So I was at the Capitol doing some work, and I had a woman that it was the Walk for Life actually up there a couple weeks ago, and everybody was gone. I had not everybody, but most people were gone, and I walked out to my car, and there was a woman standing across from the Capitol that had a sign in her hand. I didn't understand the sign, so I walked up to her and I said, "Can you explain what your sign says?" And we got into a conversation. She was definitely not pro-life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm one to kind of step into those uncomfortable situations because
good.
I truly am concerned for people if they don't know the truth. And they mm-hmm. may not be informed of the truth.
Yeah.
And that was a very interesting conversation because I told her, I said, you know, if we weren't standing here on this sidewalk, you and I probably would be friends. And it kind of shocked her. It was like her jaw kind of dropped. She's like, yeah, I guess we would. Mm. And so it broke down those walls and those barriers. So we were able to kind of continue to talk. And we talked about life and ended up, we did not disagree. And I asked her a question. I won't go into the whole questioning of what I was saying, but she ended up not having anything to say. And I don't do that on purpose. It's just you try to make logical. She didn't want to hear about God, so we used science. I didn't even use God. I used science and statistics. And, you know, I guess the last question, I will say this, the last question I asked her was, well, when that baby comes down, you know, the birthing canal, or when that whatever is inside of you, when it comes down the birthing canal, is it a pineapple? Is it a, you know, is it a turtle? What is it? And, you know, she kind of sat there, and I said, but if it wasn't living inside of you, because she told me it wasn't living, then why would you put yourself through a surgical procedure? Mm. And she had no answer and literally dropped her sign to her side, turned around and said, I don't want to continue this conversation, and walked off. Mm-hmm. But as she walked off, I was really praying in my heart. And the Lord said, you've planted a seed that she can no longer disagree with the fact that life was in her, was living.
Or deny it.
She can't deny it. That's right. And so,
because they're taught by Planned Parenthood that it's not a real baby. It's just a bunch of cells.
Really? All of us are taught what we know.
Yes. That's what they say.
Yes.
They have forever. They've not changed their narrative.
No, but I'm not aware of that.
So what I'm saying is, though, we need to speak truth in love. I did not get upset with this woman.
We shouldn't.
I did not feel any angst towards her. I know she felt angst toward me. You could see it. But I was very kind, and I'm like, can we just please have this conversation? She indulged me, you know, and it was good. But as she walked up the hill away from the Capitol, I thought, well, there was a seed that was planted. Mm. She can never deny that she didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And it makes her think every time that she's going to fight against life. Mm-hmm. So we don't know.
Those words went into her spirit.
They did. And it wasn't, there was no fighting. There was
no
anything.
You could keep praying for her from now on.
I think about that woman a lot when I'm, you know, just thinking about pro-life stuff and how we can help others learn. Yeah. But
here's the thing. She's deceived. She is completely deceived. Mm-hmm. Into her mindset and into her way of thinking, and that is not.
And people don't want to be wrong either. Once they've been deceived, then it's
the
hard
enemy.
To turn. It is
it's
the enemy.
It's the enemy, and people.
It's
have
also
to,
our pride.
Well, but that's the enemy.
Because I don't like to be wrong, right?
Well, but that's the enemy.
It is. Even in my own life, I have to learn that. Mm-hmm. Listen, I put out a post this morning. Yeah, this morning that the thing that I was fighting, that I was fighting up in Missouri, this HJR that I was fighting up in Missouri, that it had been put through the Senate and that they pushed it through. I had read what I had read on the internet wasn't wrong. I read it wrong. And so I had to go back and apologize to the people that I had seen my post and, you know, said, oh, thank God, and whatever. I went back and I said, here's an update, guys. This is wrong information. It's still being heard on the floor. I have people that follow me because of the fact that I do put things out. I put out wrong information this morning.
Humble.
We have to be careful.
But your heart is overjoyed or anxious to get it that way, to get it to that point.
It is. But you know, I still had to go back and say I was wrong. And so we have to be willing to say we're wrong. So be aware who we can always be wrong, right? There's always a chance.
Well,
so you have to be careful what you put out there.
But the one thing is that it's not about you being wrong or right in this situation. It's about God being right and her not understanding.
And me being humble.
And her not understanding that it's God that gives life.
Yeah.
So she's denying God in that situation.
In that situation.
She's denying God.
We should mention at this point, if you'd like to call in and if you have a comment or a question, 772-221-1100 is the number to call, 772-221-1100. And getting back to, you know, one of the concerns we've always shared here as a team is that issue of truth versus deception.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the enemy loves to be in deception. He throws enough of the truth in there to confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the, I don't want to divert, I know, but Stephanie's got a great track that she's put us on, and Keith has also got some input here. But let's kind of look at that. I will just witness to this that, believe it or not, it's taken me in the early days of my Christian walk, I still had a trouble picking between deception and truth because of how I receive information, how we all receive information, from whom we receive it. Where we put our trust. And, you know, back in, I'm a little older than most people listening, maybe. I'm in my mid-70s. So, you know, when I was growing up in the 70s, in my 20s and I really started to pay attention to the world around me, I plugged into the news media. Now, back then, the news media was fairly trustworthy. Yeah, you had a few people that wanted to shove their opinions down your throat. Most of them just wanted to report the news instead of making it. And but as a believer, I slowly but surely began to realize that while maybe I could trust those reporting the things going on in the world, in my nation, in my city, in my planet, that I needed to return to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to get into that. I prayed then for a passion, the Holy Spirit-given passion, mm-hmm. to get into the Word so it can get into me. And I think this is where, you know, the core is kind of a foundational point that we stick to throughout every program we've done, and today especially. So I'd like to get us just back to, I'm going to throw that out for commentary.
Well, I think that the deception and truth thing is the bottom line. I mean, and where do we go to find truth? The Word of God. I mean, that is the truth.
And why is there so much division in this country? Because there is a truth, and people aren't seeing what the truth is, and that truth is the Word of God. So where do you look to see that?
The Bible.
The Bible. Mm-hmm. To understand the Bible. First, that's first and foremost, right? Mm-hmm. Once you see that, once I was blind, now I see. And Stephanie, we were talking about how did it come to the point now, deception, where you can abort a baby at 9 months? Hmm. I mean, how did it get to that point? Right? How did it get to that point? And so who is being deceived? And if you can't understand or you can't see this, that this is a issue, this is a problem, this is a serious issue.
Okay, so that is a good point, but I will, and it's not a but, it is and. The deception wasn't just, and this is across the nation, this is not just in Florida,
the world.
This is not just
the
in
world.
Missouri,
right.
It
yeah.
is,
right.
But I'm talking
right.
about what went on at our ballot boxes.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Right. This is
okay. So,
the United States is a country of the Lord, right? That they tried to squash.
But here's what I'll say about what happened in November. When the people went to the ballot box, those ballots had deception written on them. There was no
right.
real way.
Right.
Now, Florida had a little bit
so
better.
So you're talking specifically about Amendment 4.
I am at this moment because
yes.
he was talking about abortion.
Yeah.
And how do we become deceived?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just people that were not Christians. The Christians were deceived.
Yes.
I mean, I go back to that scripture
yes.
in the Bible where it says, even the elect will be deceived.
Yes.
Well, the elect were deceived.
Yes.
And it was written right in front of them. They were given an opportunity. I could go down that rabbit hole. It's probably not a good one to go down to. Right?
Yeah, because
no,
I...
But there's so much.
Because one of these days we'll have to have that on the air.
Right,
but
that's only one of the things that we're talking about
yeah.
here.
Well, what I would bring out today is, we were talking about Charlie Kirk earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage people, go look up on YouTube. Go look up Turning Point USA and use it.
Just Google Charlie Kirk and watch his videos.
It is so logical.
Yeah.
That it's scary.
And it leaves a lot of the college students like in awe.
They are.
That they don't know what to say
in return. He said the other night that he has got most of the people that are coming to his talks.
Rallies, yep.
Are men, boys, mm-hmm. the boys in the college. They
oh,
are so
praise
tired.
God. Praise God.
Of the
feminine.
It's the 30 and under that really helps to turn this election yeah. like a big voting block for Trump.
It is.
But I want to go over a verse really quickly.
Go for it.
Hebrews 4:12. Okay. This is a very, very popular verse, but it says that God's word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we're talking about how can we discern, and I'm talking Christians, if we are not in the word of God.
Okay. It's the verse we open up with.
It is.
It's the verse we open the
yes,
program
Yes, thank you, Lance.
Yeah.
You
yes.
that verse.
Right.
But the Word of God has the power. Okay, so when you get it in you, and Christian, if you don't have a hunger for the Word, David mentioned this, ask the Lord to give you a hunger for mm. the Word. I used mm. to be one of them who was like, I have to begrudgingly do my chapter reading every night, but I was not excited about it. So I go, Lord, give me a hunger. And now I can't get enough of it. And it's because he gave me that hunger. Mm-hmm. But Hebrews 4:12, it says that the word, God's word, is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the word, when it gets in you, will penetrate what is the truth and what is false. Mm-hmm. It will do that. Mm-hmm. When you, there's nothing more greater than to get the word of God into you, Christian. No doubt. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right. It's a discerner.
And,
right.
And you know,
it discerns
of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
Right?
And what I found true is, you know, we think, oh, well, it's out in the world that I need this. No, guys, when you go to church,
yes,
the pastor that's preaching,
yes,
there are a lot of times I'm sitting in church and it's not just with my pastor. I mean, he and I joke about this because I'll talk to him and say, hey, what do you mean by this? You know, we have to know it because we're accountable to our leadership. Our leadership is accountable to God. And that's a very high accountability, to be accountable to the creator of the universe.
Only the Holy Spirit can really be the true discerner, because some pastors who may be at the pulpit may preach something that's wrong, not intentionally.
Right.
No, but no, no, let's say it was off just by a little. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit will tell you, mm-hmm, and then you just discern. You know what I mean?
So that's why you have to know what the word says. And in all honesty here, do I know every scripture?
No, I don't know
where the addresses are. I don't. And if I had one lament in this world, if I only was given one, I've got more than one, but if I only had one, my biggest lament would be that I did not teach my children like I should have the word of God. Mm. I did. I mean, we did, but you know, that's who I have the most influence on,
yeah,
back in the day.
Children.
Now they tell me now, I've got, especially one daughter tells me, Mom, that's where I learned all of it. And I'm like, ah, I don't feel like I did. But don't be weary in well-doing, mm-hmm, and continue, even though you don't feel maybe that, especially men and, you know, moms and dads, when they've got those little ones, mm-hmm, man, you've got such an opportunity just
or
to...
Our grandparents who are listening.
Yeah.
They could pour into their grandkids.
Yeah.
You know?
Mine are all up in Kansas City, so
yeah,
I text and do things like that.
That's still good.
Yeah.
I want to get back to salt and light.
Sorry.
No. Everything's
light.
Fine.
I love, God
has been speaking to, yeah, me about salt and light. We,
yeah,
read the scripture, Matthew 5,
mm-hmm,
13 through 16. All, mm-hmm, right.
You do not hide the light under a bed.
Exactly. You don't.
Basket.
You stay salty, right?
Yeah, you stay salty.
Because we are to be, if and I want to speak to the, you know, because I love it. Now I love it. I didn't then when God would use someone to speak truth to me, mm-hmm, when I was in error as a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the functions of the body of Christ, when it's working well, when it's in the Spirit, is it will go to its members that are in need of counsel, in need of education, and say, hey, we notice by your life that your actions don't match your words. You say who you are, but your actions don't match that. And God loves to, it's a correction. We have to do reproof. Right? We're not judging.
In a loving way, yes.
Some say, you don't judge me. Well, you know, okay, at some point, God is going to send someone to you,
uh-huh,
if you're in error, because God wants you to
and
have...
thank God.
Been there, done
that. God, exactly. So,
it's how you respond to what God sends to you, too. That's
exactly
the big thing.
And because, you know, some days we're not too salty and we're not too light.
Yeah.
Because of who we
many
are.
Times.
We're human beings. So in the community of faith, in the body of Christ, so... In a way, I say, in all humility, really, we are serving that purpose today on this program and many other believers throughout their life. God will use us. You know, now tomorrow I may stop being salty and light, you know, in a moment, because I'm human.
Been there, done
but
that
right
too.
Now, I believe the power of the Spirit, because,
yeah,
what we have to come to grips with that for ourselves. This is a personal decision.
Personal.
Yes.
It
you made
personal.
A decision for Christ. However,
yeah,
long ago,
yeah,
you invited him to come into your heart. You said, I believe you're my Lord, my Savior, the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins. You were resurrected, and you're going to take me into your kingdom with you, and I've got a whole new life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that, we've done that. Now, from that point until you die, you're going to have peaks and valleys in your faithfulness. But what we hope is, what God wants to happen, is that we will hear... When someone comes along and says, hey, you need to clean up your act. You know, Paul did this. You read his letters to the early churches, you know?
It's basically staying accountable.
Accountable. That's why, good discipleship.
If I see you going down a path, David, I would think I would be able to speak to you in love, you know, one by one, as Matthew 18 says.
But the point I'm trying to get to, and I am literally trying to drag myself to this point, is I'm speaking to myself, to you, and to our listeners, is that when earlier on, Keith, you made a comment that basically said, why are people not seeing this truth? Okay. Yeah. The reason is several reasons. But why is the church not more active in the culture around the church buildings and around our lives? Why are we not?
Yeah.
And I'll take responsibility for this for myself. Why are we not more willing to be courageous in the spirit?
Yeah.
Take what we know.
Yeah.
And to go and be out there and just, you know, look, I've been in a line at Publix waiting to buy, you know, a gallon of milk or something. And somebody behind me will make a comment out of their ignorance. All right. Why is this? Why is that? Or I believe this or I believe that. And you know, it's contrary to the word of God. Well, maybe that's an opportunity to make a comment to them in the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe not. But the point is, we're out there. We're salt. We're light. We're in the world. Keith is on the streets in Delray Beach.
Yeah. Well, that's where the Lord leads me.
That's where the Lord leads
him. That's where the Lord leads me.
But where's the Lord leading you?
Government.
Well, he's leading me to the Capitol a lot of times.
Are you a civic leader listening? The point is, the basic reason why people don't know is because they're not hearing it from the people that do.
And that's what Charlie Kirk and Eric was saying on Saturday. It was so encouraging. I was just like, yes, 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 Lord. Because he was saying, you know, the churches, the pastors, they were really on the pastors. And I felt bad because it's like, I know I'm responsible too, you know. But he felt that calling to talk to the pastors. And it was, there were probably a lot of pastors in that building that day, that night. But
good.
It's very important that we take this on personally.
Yes.
I loved what you said about that, because if we don't take it on personally, then how can we give it out? One thing I heard yesterday, I was reading on something, and this is interesting. I didn't know that when you taste salt in your mouth, like you're not eating anything, but all of a sudden you'll taste salt, it means there's an infection in there. It means you have an infection. And I thought about that word. Saying
she's pointing to the sign I'm holding, folks. That's what she's
is
doing.
Infectious. Okay, so salt is bringing attention to.
Huh.
So that really made sense to me. We're salt. We're bringing attention. It enhances.
Yeah.
And so too much of it, infection. To infectious, which is better. I'd rather be infectious than infection. Mm. But it's similar, right? So God asks us to speak truth in love and be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the light, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
we're going to take a little break and give you all a chance to kind of chew
ruminate.
On what we
and maybe
ruminate.
Call ruminate. Maybe if they have a question
and,
or if they disagree.
Put a little salt on it.
It's a piece of music entitled I Praise Your Name by Crusade. And we'll be back. And if you want to call in, there's still time, 772-221-1100.
I praise your name.
All right. And that was... okay, I praise your name. Praise your name. And we do praise the name of the Lord. We must. We have to. It comes out of the core of our being. And because we are in Christ. We thank God for that. Well, welcome back, by the way. This is a biblical response. We have, oh, maybe 14 minutes left before we have to go off the air. Still a little time to call if you'd like. 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. If you have a comment or a question for us. Back to it.
You know what? I think that something we have to definitely talk about is Christians getting involved in the civil arena. Mm-hmm. How could we not talk a whole hour of just getting involved without talking about the civil arena? And one verse that Charlie Kirk always uses when he speaks to people, pastors, is Jeremiah 29:7, which says, "Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare," so the welfare for which you're going, or where you're living, I apologize, "for in its welfare, you will find your welfare." So is that not a biblical imperative to seek the welfare of your city? How do you do that?
Yeah.
So we have to follow our legislators. We each, obviously, we each have a state rep and a state senator, and it goes all the way to the top with our president. Mm-hmm. But we have a voice to get involved in the political process, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. You know, Saturday when they were talking, Florida Family Voice was talking about the voters and how they were getting, assimilating the information out to the voters. They talked about their voter's guide, and there was a staggering statistic that they gave on Saturday night. They distributed in the state of Florida 1.7 million voter guides.
You know what? Wow. And praise God, because churches, my church, Revived Church in Stewart, I was able to call on behalf of Revived Church because we were like kind of the place to pick it up, voter guides in this area.
Right.
And called churches and unfortunately, some churches did not want to have anything having to do with picking up a voter guide. They were nice about it. Mm-hmm. But that just makes me think of why, as a church, are you not wanting to pick up a voter guide?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's a
good question. If somebody disagrees, please call because I want to hear.
I think that's what they were speaking about to the pastors on Saturday was, you know, you need to be informed so that that the people sitting in the pews are informed. And, man, we're the biggest organization, you know, as far as if we're looking at something that's organized.
The church
is the biggest organization that could come together and be, you know, unified.
I'm still scratching my head.
Uh-oh.
Keith, no, I'm still scratching my head.
What's the matter, bud?
Charlie Rich, was that it? The guy that was running for governor a couple of years ago?
Charlie Crist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Baptist Church did a fundraiser for Charlie Crist, and he was running under the Democratic ticket. A Baptist church is fundraising for a Democratic front runner, for the Democratic runner, okay? And the Democrats are going against pro-life. They're going against against a man and a woman. They're for gay marriage. They're for abortion. They're for things that are against the word of God. And this is where the deception is. Mm-hmm. How can you, if you're a Christian, not know the word of God? God is the God of life.
Mm-hmm.
God is not the God. And in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 32, it says, "I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living."
Yes.
So it's a head scratcher. How are you, how can you be supporting something on the left side of the word of God?
I would encourage all of our listeners so that we're not telling them what they should do.
No, I know. But it's a head scratcher for me.
I would encourage every one of our listeners, if you don't or haven't ever, go read what the platforms are for the Democratic Party and what the platform is for the Republican Party.
Because it's changed a lot.
You are not a Democrat because your parents were a Democrat.
Right.
You need to be a Democrat.
Well, some of them are.
Well, I'm saying, or a Republican. I'm saying on both sides of, go read, what do you agree with? What do you not agree with? And that's the first place to start. You've got to know What, no. You know, you've got, well, the word of God is the first place to start.
We have to be informed because there's a lot of Christians who are not informed.
We do. And sometimes
and there's no reason to not be informed.
No. And we look at our leaders and sometimes we look at them as good and bad. Go listen to what they're saying. Don't listen to what the public opinion of them is.
Or
go
what
listen.
Somebody tells you.
Yeah.
I was at a Republican Executive Committee meeting last week in Port St. Lucie. We had Representative Toby Overdorf and Representative Daniel Tribalski educate us on what bills they voted for.
Yes.
Okay?
You can see that. That's online. That's all public online.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason to not get involved. This is a statistic I read today. 32 million Christians who regularly attend church also say they don't vote. Keith is looking at me like, go ahead, Keith. Go.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that.
32 million Christians
abdicating. Well, you know, I was at a church one Sunday before the election, and the pastor was talking, and, you know, this year, I noticed that a lot of the pastors were talking about the election because of the severity of the election.
Yes.
And
the presidential.
The presidential election. Thank you. Thank you, Ann. So, you know, President Trump is representing the right, and he also represents God. He brings Jesus to the platform. He brings Christianity to the platform. And he brings freedom of religion to the platform, something that President Biden did not do.
And so, you know what? We have the word of God to check Trump, too. If he veers off, we have the word of God because he is only man, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But so, this is right. This is not about President Trump himself. This is about God and the vessel that the Lord is using. Okay. So one of the pastors that at the church that I was at the time said that he wasn't a fan of either one of the candidates. Now, I haven't been back to that church. How can you say that? It boggles my mind. How can you not do that when President Trump has spoken about Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior? President Trump has what did he just do? Right, the deception. He just brought the last Jewish American captive out of Hamas, right? Out of Hamas. He just rescued him and he's bringing him back to the country. He is back in the country right now. And some of the deception that goes on with the media concerning President Trump, who is a Christian.
So let's talk about resources. So our listeners will have resources. If you don't know where to go, let's say this is something that has joggled your mind, like, wow, I need to be involved. Stephanie has talked so much about Florida Family Voice. Okay. Mm-hmm. They are a gift that we have in this state of Florida. From Illinois. FLFamily.org. FLFamily.org is Florida Family Voice's website. Go ahead.
Yeah. They are part of a larger organization that has 39 states that have
policy councils. Yep.
Yes, policy councils. But I question as to whether they are as active as our Florida Family Voice.
So we have to take advantage. Every Florida resident has to know about flfamily.org.
Yeah.
They will tell you, if you go all the way to the bottom under resources, you can get voter guides, you can get education on 2024 voter resources for churches and pastors. This is old, but they will have that before every election. And I understand if Christians have voter guides, they're more apt to vote because they have something in front of you.
Right.
There is no reason a Christian should not be informed.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I went into the ballot box uninformed. Lots of my...
No more, Stephanie.
For all of my...
time is dissipating. No. So
and one
we
more
need
thing.
To share these resources with you.
And also, if you want to know who your Florida state congressmen and senators are, go to W for Senate, www.flsenate.gov. And your U.S. State House of Rep, www.flhouse.gov. Create a relationship with your legislator.
And let's I'm going to say this. I know I had an opportunity when I was a hospice chaplain. I was picked to go to Washington, D.C. with some of our representatives from our hospice, and there were hundreds of hospices represented in this special meeting.
Yeah.
And there were bills before the House and the Senate that had to do with hospice coverage and things like that. And so we were going up support. And not everybody can do this, but the point is that we were welcomed. We were trained the first day on how do you speak to the legislators, how do you address and how do you present these areas of interest. The next day, they set us loose. We had appointments, but they set us loose to wander. We went into, I didn't see every congressperson, but there were several congresspeople that we were already had an appointment with, sit down and talk with them face to face, share our concerns. Now, whether they believe it or not, they were listening.
No, they do.
And I'll tell you, they also told us, and I found this to be true in other aspects, that if you take advantage of the communication means that have been given to you, email, if all you want to do is send an email to Brian Mast and tell him what you think about a certain point, they look at that stuff.
I worked for 20 years for a legislator. Yeah. If there's enough that comes up on one subject alone, that will make a difference to change the voice of the legislator.
And what state were you in?
I was in Illinois.
Okay.
Liberal, Chicago, Illinois. Liberal as can get. But if you call in and you really express and 50 people call in after you, email, they listen.
You may be only one voice. That happened in Missouri. I was told by a legislator, and I think I've said this on the radio before, there were 12 phone calls that he changed his mind on
a vote.
I'm
telling you.
Yeah,
guys, one participate vote, in the process.
It is that's participation. People,
so don't say no one's gonna take my point and listen to it.
Oh, well,
do it. Send it.
Mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Yes.
Amen.
So even if you're nervous, the Lord will give you the words, is what that scripture says.
Amen.
Right, Keith?
That's Amen. Exactly.
Trust
what that
in the Lord
before,
to guide you.
Right,
the Holy
Moses,
Spirit.
Before which is, Moses went.
Amen.
Right?
Which is what we do before on Monday before every program.
Yeah. And people have to understand the Bible is timeless. The Word of God is timeless.
Amen. Yes.
And it applies to each and every person that is reading it at the time.
Amen.
The Bible will speak to
and
you.
And speaking of timeless, we're out of it. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. Be back next week.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us.